Lord's Supper. So this is something that Leonard's preached, I've preached, Kenneth preached. You sat there and listened. And I thought we'd just use it for the Lord's Supper. And it incorporates a lot of things that the preachers and the teachers and classes, we've taught this. And I was trying to figure out what to do tonight. I slept for 2 days after Sunday night. I didn't get out of the bed, out of the chair. So I got to feeling better. I got some antibiotics and stuff, and I don't think you can catch it. And I've done the Lord's Supper for so long, I want to die doing the Lord's Supper, so I might as well do it. You know, when you take the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial thing for him, and it's also something to remind us of who he is, what he is, why he did what he did, his love for us, his faith, and also his hope and the things he passed on to us. Now, you know the scripture, Matthew 3:14-15. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. John the Baptist speaking to Jesus. And he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Jesus never baptized anyone. There was a reason for it. And so Jesus said, allow it, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Now, when I was saved, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness that would have, he fulfilled all righteousness that would have caused me to be remain under the condemnation of God. And so I'm very thankful for that. And he also died for a way that I could go to him, seek forgiveness for the sins as I walked on the surface of this earth. Leonard did a good job on that when he talked about the actual message of foot washing, what it really represented. And it made me realize that not only did he save me eternally, and I have absolutely no fear whatsoever of ever going back under the condemnation of God, of ever going to hell. It just doesn't exist. I have, I guess, what you'd call epigenesco. I know it will always be there. In John 4:20-26, Jesus is talking to a woman at the well, and he says, "Our Father," she said to him, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem." He said, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, it was true. They had broken away after the death of Solomon, and they had also, under the realm of Rehoboam, turned to a bunch of rebels themselves. But because God had made a promise to Solomon, Rehoboam was allowed to continue. God never breaks his word under any circumstances. When he makes a statement, he makes it, and it's going to be true. But the hour cometh, and now is. He said it's here right now. When the true worshipers, and he made sure he put that word true in there, for the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the life that you're supposed to live. Daily confessing your sins acknowledging your mistakes, asking God to forgive you, being extremely thankful. You know he's going to forgive you. People say, well, sometimes he just won't. No, he has always forgiven me. He has always forgiven me. You say, do you think he'll always forgive you if you do that? Yes, I do, because he made me that promise. You see, I fear God that way, because just as sure as I try to drag it out, something happens, and I get a message, and I say, okay. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Christos, the anointed one. When he has come, he will tell us all things. You know, that's quite a statement for a woman who was under the reign of Rehoboam. That's quite a statement for her. Well, Rehoboam had moved on down the road, but this woman had lived up there in that area, and she believed that the Messiah was coming, and Jesus was the seed. When he must come, he will tell us all things. That woman knew the Lord. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now in John 13, 25 through 30, after it has just been revealed to Simon Peter that there's a traitor among them, as a matter of fact, to all of them, Peter looks over at John and silently whispers, and he wanted to know, who is it, John? And Jesus knew what he had asked. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it. Now this is something I've checked all over the world, and there is one place in the Old Testament where they have a translation in there that it is not correct. It gives the inference that the Lord was still there, that Jesus, that Judas Iscariot was still there. And I guarantee you, sitting here, standing before the Lord if necessary, I guarantee you, it was mistranslated. And those who believe that Judas was still there are wrong. Now, I could argue about this till the cows come home, and I've shown it to you one time when I taught this before. I went in there and left no doubt. Am I saying that King James translation is not inspired? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God's word that was delivered once to the saints is inspired. And in that one place, it has Judas there. And it clearly, if you'll read what all the other expositors have to say, you'll discover. And you'll have to make a choice. I've made my choice. And Judas Iscariot was not there. You say, well, God's really going to get you at the Lord's Supper. Well, you better consider what he's going to do to you if you denounce it and you're wrong before you do it. And when he had given him a sop, when I had dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon. Of Simon. Now, this was the thing that had been set from the very beginning. He knew it when he brought Judas Iscariot along, and he said, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. That was a common practice. I sat with a rabbi. He was a big wig, and I went over where he was, and he was sitting by himself, and the ones I guess that were his followers were all around it. He's dead by now. I'm sure that was a long time ago. And I asked him about this, and I said, did they have a practice that to give to the poor on the Passover? Or did they have, could someone get up and leave the Passover for the intent of getting something for the Passover? He didn't hesitate. He said, oh yes, that's the Jewish custom. It's a Jewish habit. So I checked it out there. I checked it out in a lot of different books. And it's the truth. It's called Kereseth. And what it is, it's a herbs. Some of them are bitter. And they dip them in a real sweet sauce. And it's like the taste of bittersweet, like in sweet or sour pork, which has a meat set, but it has a very pleasant taste to it. But this is like a salad. And it's called Kereseth. That he should do something to the poor. He then, receiving the sop, went immediately out and into the night. Matthew 26:26-35. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. That's when the Lord's Supper began. But Judas was long gone when this happened, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now what he says next is very interesting. We always sing the hymn and go out, but I'm going to read it. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. He said, you'll all stumble tonight. He said, you'll be offended tonight. He said, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd. He was the shepherd. You'll find this in Zechariah. And the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. For after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And he did. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. We haven't changed much, have we? We really haven't. And after you continue in this work for a long time, you just say, I give up. And you just say, I give up. Because you keep trying to do better and better and better. And when you do get to a point where you feel like you're doing better and better and better, all of a sudden, you're not doing better. And God reminds you. And it's a good time to remember that at the Lord's Supper. It's a good time to remember that at the Lord's Supper. I think about a lot of things before the Lord's Supper. And this is one of them. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you. Now this was stated to disciples. D-I-S-C-I-P-L-E-S. Disciples. Now you all know that disciples were followers. And there were people that were saved, but disciples were followers. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. Now, I think he was telling the truth. He said, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? It's such a simple statement. He said, Lord, we don't have any idea where you're going. And so how can we know the way? Jesus cometh unto the Father. Jesus saith, Jesus cometh unto the Father. No man cometh unto me. He said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All three of them are definite articles. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, I'm firmly convinced that Jesus was God, is God, and always shall be God. I'm convinced of it. Leonard helped me a lot in this, and Kenneth helped me in it. And I knew he was God, but I wasn't epigenesco about it. I just believed it. And I know he is. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. Does that mean, was he telling him, if you follow the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus knew he was going to, he said, you will know my Father also. And that's what happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. When I was saved, I didn't know Jesus was the Father. I was a little kid that was about, I guess I was 12. Yeah, I was 12. I was 12 years old. For 4 years, I thought there was Jesus and there was God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and I thought they were three separate things. Don't tell me most of you didn't believe that, because they taught it in missionary Baptist churches. And it's not true. He said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Well, now I know. People say, well, you were just as well off if you never knew that. No, I would not have been just as well off, because I couldn't have taught you the truth. I taught you the truth before I ever met Leonard Moses. But I didn't know the depth of it, because I had come to know that there was a Christ incarnate. I knew that. And I knew Jesus was God. But as I looked at all these other names, I just said, man alive. And so when I take the Lord's Supper now, I think about that. And that's why I did this message. There's an awful lot to think about. There's an awful lot to be grateful for. And we ought to look forward to coming down and taking the Lord's Supper. We ought to look forward to it. We ought to consider it to be something special. And I'll try not to be a clown. I've been a clown in the past when I take the Lord's Supper. I've just been a clown all my life. But I don't think this should be observed in any way except a very solemn way. And so that's the way I'm going to try, as long as I live, to conduct it. I'm tired of playing the role of a fool. So I'm not going to do it at the Lord's Supper. And who knows? Maybe the Lord will get me where I'll be more serious at a lot of other things too. We'll just have to wait and see. Oh, Leonard, you and Ken want to come up?